Not all the Christmas hymns are easy to sing, but they all do, the good ones all have a message about what Christmas truly is about. And the songs we have sung tonight, I love that phrase. I mean, Mary, did you know? That whole hymn, when you think about the reality of what was going on, and that phrase, did you realize that you were looking at the face of God? Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, that's so true. The scripture I want to share with you tonight bears that out. We're reminded, that Christmas is... The greatest part of it is really about the anticipation, isn't it? And we have all this anticipation week after week, day after day. And but here we are tonight, and all the kids are excited because we're finally at Christmas Eve. I was sharing with our congregation Sunday morning. I have a little granddaughter and have three granddaughters and a grandson that live in Houston, Texas. Our 8-year-old granddaughter, she's a special needs child, but she's very social, very outgoing. And there's a man in their neighborhood. His name's Steve, I believe, isn't it? And he's been playing with the kids for several weeks and reminded him that he says, "I'm the Grinch, and I'm going to steal your gifts on Christmas night." So he's been terrorizing the kids with this. So the kids went to talk to Santa Claus, and Maren got up in his lap, and she said, "Stephen has been very, very naughty." Of course, he has no clue who Stephen is, but she said, "He's the Grinch, and you need to put him, Santa, on the naughty list." And so she was going to take care of Stephen. But, you know, the Christmas story is, to me, it's just exciting for us to realize and to be reminded of it. I know that sometimes as preachers, every time Christmas comes, you start thinking, well, I've been doing this for 40 years or more. And so if you're not careful, you start thinking about, what can I do different? Well, there's not too much different about the Christmas story, is it? And I think it's important for us to realize that we need to be reminded of the same story over and over. And surrounding the Christmas story is so much doctrine, so much theology, so much information that we need to process and make it a part of this time we have together. And reading of the Christmas story and just been reminded of Matthew and Luke and all that they shared with us is so important. But I want to focus tonight on just this title, Christmas in the Beginning. We've heard in the readings, we've heard in the scriptures read, and we think about Bethlehem, we think about Nazareth. But the scriptures teach that Christmas really started back in Genesis, actually in Genesis chapter 1. Now, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, actually 1 through 14, in the Gospel of John. Now, remember the very first verse in all the Bible in Genesis 1:1, what does it say? In the beginning. So, John, in his Gospel... Same Holy Spirit who led Moses to give us Genesis, same Holy Spirit led John to give us this gospel. And so John starts out in verse 1 in John chapter 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word." And if you'll notice carefully in your Bibles, when you read of that passage, the word is capitalized. And really that is a word indicating in the original language, it's referring to Jesus, to the Christ. And so actually when you read that, in the beginning was the Word, it literally reads, in the beginning was Jesus. And the Word was with God. Jesus was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus was God. Now listen to that verse again. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him. So we go back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God what? Created the heavens and the earth. And so John is reminding us that Jesus was back then involved in that creation story. And sometimes we get caught up in you know, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, but we need to understand that He already exists. This baby who's born, he existed before. And the Scriptures bear that out. So verse 3, all things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now we have the first four verses up there, but listen at verse 5. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light. We focused a little bit on that last Sunday. You know, what is our business today as Christians? It's to be a witness about the light shining in the dark world. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, referring to John the Baptist, but He came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through Him, and yet the world did not recognize Him. Now listen carefully at these next verses. He came to His own. That means Jesus been a Jew. He came to His own people, the nation of Israel. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be the children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of natural descent or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God. And listen to this, verse 14. The Word became flesh. See, this is just reflecting on all the verses up to that point and reminding us again that, you know, God didn't wake up one day and say, boy, sin entered the world and destroyed all of our plans, and plan A is now out the window, so we've got to go to plan B. No, this was all plan A all along. God already knew all of this. So verse 14, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed the glory, His glory, the glory as of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let me just share a couple of quick thoughts with you in reflecting on this. If you'll think about the first four verses, when we read the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, the story begins in history with Jesus. And I remind you, and don't be duped into thinking otherwise, but Jesus' birth was a historical account. The Scriptures give us a historical account. This was a factual, historical account that God, through the Holy Spirit, reminds us of in the Scripture. So Jesus was born to Mary, and Matthew and Luke, in their early chapters, teach us that. But the fourth Gospel of John reaches back even further. And that's why we refer to this as Christmas in the beginning, reaches back into eternity past. Because you see, God in his character, God is eternity past and God is eternity future. And if we know Christ as our personal Savior today, that's our blessed hope and looking forward to spending eternity with him. So we're given access to this prequel up to this point. Now, the Father created the world through the divine word. Because you remember in Genesis 1, we're reminded that God spoke. He spoke everything into existence. And that whole chapter, chapter 1 in Genesis reminds us. And you remember after every creative act, God stood back and said, "This is good." So he spoke. And that's why the play on words is so fascinating when we get to John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you have this eternal expression of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Word was with God. That brings out the eternal intimate fellowship. The Word was with God. And the Word was God, sharing the same eternal divine nature. And that's what John 1:1 is reminding us, reflecting on. Now, in light of the Spirit's involvement as well, we see that each person of the Trinity, the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, were involved in the creation. As the Trinity was also involved heavily in the birth of Jesus. And I know sometimes, you know, this miraculous act of the virgin birth, but listen, if you're truly saved, if you're truly born again, if you truly believe the Word of God, although you can't explain how that happened, that this young teenage girl was impregnated by the Holy Spirit and gave birth without knowing a man. But you see, that's the beauty of the Christmas story. Miracle after miracle after miracle surrounds that story. But you see, we have a miracle-producing God, right? And when you think about the Scriptures, and you think about all of the application of that, you understand that. We understand the Father, the Son, the Spirit are co-equal members of the Trinity. Our one God exists in three persons. And that's what John is indicating as we reflect back on Genesis. Now, it's really fascinating to me that when you think about the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, and they share the Christmas story with us and the birth of Christ, but as you reflect on the historicity of all of those events that took place in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, and then as you make a closer look at the narratives in both Matthew and Luke, you see the richness of the familiarity of the whole Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And you see this orderly sequence, and you reflect back again on verse 3 of John chapter 1. All things were created through him, Jesus, and apart from him, Jesus, not one thing was created that has been created. And so we see the Scriptures, just this orderly sequence of the Word of God. It's important for us to understand that God's plan started in Genesis and it didn't end until Revelation. And you and I are part of the ending of that story today, and we look forward to our salvation, helping us to look forward to eternal life. Now, Matthew reflected, you'll remember, on the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Luke, being a physician, a doctor, he gave us precise insight into what was going on there, as would be characteristic of him. But then John reminds us that the Christmas story does not begin in Bethlehem, but it began in the creation. And Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32 indicates that the Lord's Christ the Davidic Messiah. So it began as the eternal purpose of God even before the world was created. Even before the world was created, God had this plan in action. And it's important for us to realize and remind ourselves over and over that that Paul reminded Timothy, you'll remember in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that verse 16, that all Scripture is what? All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed, is inspired of God. And so he relates that to us. So the Christmas story began in these first three verses that John indicates to us. And it's fascinating when you think about the application. The word logos is the Greek word for the word. But the prologue to John's gospel points to creation, to Christ, and the creation to Christ. This divine logos and the agent of creation directly from Genesis. And that's why John reflected back to the Genesis story. In the beginning, God. Now, when you and I consider our personal salvation, we have to understand that the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, realizing that he went to Calvary's cross and died for our sins, we reflect this whole story in the beginning. And in our lives, we reflect everything that surrounds that. You see, the great narrative of the Bible points to this very essential truth. Now listen, God determined to bring glory to himself through the salvation of a people redeemed and purchased by his own Son. His own Son, the Christ. You think of Bethlehem, you also think of Calvary. If you've ever listened to the Messiah, boy, he reflects on all of that. The creation, the birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. So John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And so he just reminds us over and over to reflect on this. And down in verses 7 and 8, when it reflects on John coming as a witness, he came to as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. And that's why that verses 4 and 5 are so important to us. And listen to that again. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. You see, though he was the first to bear witness of Christ, John was not to be the last. And he reminds us again that all Christians have the responsibility to testify about him, to declare this truth of Jesus, so that all might believe in him, according to verse 7. That light shines in the darkness. Verse 7, he came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. And I realize that during the Christmas celebration that sometimes circumstances might be going on in families that might not always be a positive celebratory situation. But I want to remind you tonight that God knows everything going on in my life, in your life, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he's just reminding me that his birth is a remembrance of the fact that he came. And listen, politically and culturally, during the birth of Christ, one commentary said you had the first political president there, Herod, when Herod took over and tried to destroy. But back in that day when he was born, it was a very wicked, wicked time. And so we see surrounding that as much comparison to what we experience today. So he came to his own people, the Jews, those who were waiting for the Messiah, those who should have recognized him, but they didn't receive him. And that verse 12 is so vitally important, verses 11 and 12. He came into his own people, and they rejected him. And I remind you again, as we spoke recently in a sermon, that if you put off trusting Christ as your Savior, and you might be here tonight and just thinking to yourself, well, I believe in God, and I believe the Scriptures, but I'm just not ready to make that. Well, listen, you are rejecting Christ if you're not willing to receive him. But listen, we need Jesus in our lives, and we need to understand the importance of this Christmas story, because as believers, we're called to be a shining light in this dark world, because we know how it's all going to end, don't we? And so John reminds us of all of this. To receive Christ is not like passively receiving a letter in your mailbox. Instead, it means to welcome him based on his substitutionary death and atonement, like one welcomes a guest into one's home. Those who do so then are adopted into the family of God as his children. You're not a child of God unless there's a time in your life when you can say, Pastor, there is a time when I asked Jesus to come into my life to forgive me of my sins, and willing to make a change, a transformation at that point, to turn from my old way of life to a new life in Jesus Christ. So to believe in Jesus' name is to believe in his person, who he is. And to believe in his work, what he has done. And when someone receives and believes in Jesus for this free gift of eternal life, then he undergoes a supernatural birth. It was read in John chapter 3, you must be born again. That was what that was all about. You're born of God. In John 3:3 that Dan read earlier, you must be born again. That literally means you must be born from above. And it's the same idea as verse 12 there indicates to us and reminds us, that all who receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. I hope that during this Christmas season you know Christ as your Savior. I hope you have that settled. I hope you haven't relegated Christ to just that little baby in the manger. We don't put him in the manger throughout but he shows up on Christmas Eve. He hasn't been there throughout the month up to this point. But listen, that little baby and that father and mother surrounding that major theme, I mean, they couldn't fully comprehend what was going on. Can you imagine? As I said earlier, can you imagine looking in that little baby's face? Now, Jesus was fully human. He had to have his diapers changed just like babies today. And, unless they had something different way of doing it back then. But he went through the same. And Hebrews reminds us of this, that he experienced everything that you and I experience. He experienced tiredness. He experienced the need for sleep. He experienced the need for food. He experienced all of those things. But yet he was also fully God. He couldn't have sinned. And that's why our salvation is available to us, because of that reason. So this eternal truth, God determined to bring glory to himself through the salvation of people redeemed and purchased by his Son, that we might know him as our personal Savior. And let me just finish with verse 14. The Word became flesh. Again, that word is referring to Christ. And Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So Jesus came into the world to save you and me from our sins. And when you think of that phrase, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that testifies to the glory of the incarnation, conceived by the Holy Spirit in this womb of Mary. The divine Son of Mary became a man. Jesus thus is the God-man, not half man and half God, but one person with a fully divine nature and fully human nature and fully God nature. Our God experienced what it is to be human, yet without sinning. And that's what we're celebrating this Christmas season. And let's be sure to get the Christmas story right, start to finish. We appreciate you coming out tonight, and I pray that over these next few days you'll just reflect on what the birth of Jesus Christ fully means to you and me. I hope you'll read over that verses 11 and 12 again. He came into his own, but they neglected him. They didn't receive him. But as many are those who did receive him. See, he paints a picture of salvation. God didn't make us robots. He said, no, I'm going to plant a free will within you, and I have provided for your salvation. My son went to the cross and paid the price for your sin, but I'm not going to cram that down your throat. If you'll receive me, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the authority to become a child of God. I hope you're a child of God tonight. And I hope, like John the Baptist, that we'll be messengers and witnesses to those who don't know him yet. Read the Christmas story in the next few hours and tomorrow. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in a very special way.